It's a month to go in the race to be Detroit's next mayor. Absentee ballots have been sent out, and early voting starts October 25th. Political newcomer and pastor Solomon Kinloch is running against Detroit City Council President Mary Sheffield to be the city's next mayor. He joins us now. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing, Russ?
Very well. Glad to have you back here again.
I'm glad to be here.
So let's jump right into it. We've already had the friendly conversation.
Yeah.
I want to know, we're past the primary. If elected, day one, what is something that you want to work out with city council to get done ASAP?
Well, one of the things we have to do is have an intentional strategy in order to deal with poverty in the city of Detroit. And that's one of the first tables I will convene, a table with stakeholders, residents, corporate leaders, philanthropical community, and those that are already doing the work in order to come up with a plan district by district holistically on how we can work together and partner together to reimagine what Detroit, all of Detroit, looks like.
But we already kind of know, like, Detroit's been poor for a while.
Yes.
And so we already kind of know what that looks like. What's in your head right now are solutions to a problem like that? Because it's big, and it's happening in a lot of other cities, too.
Well, one, we got to begin with neighborhood revitalization. My plan would commit to putting a family in every house. Secondly, the way we do that is by creating a greater pathway to home ownership. By increasing and intensifying the down payment assistance program, by leveraging our tool called the Land Bank in order to prioritize affordable housing development. So those that want to come in and do development, we can accelerate that process through the Land Bank, but also accelerate the process through the red tape because many developers complain about it being so cumbersome to do business in the city of Detroit. Also, for those that are already here, that's been here, who are living in houses where the infrastructure and it's in need of repairs, making sure that they have access to funding and financing in order to make those repairs. We can provide grants and low interest loans in order to give them the resources they need in order to make capital improvements. We can do that through neighborhood revitalization. We can do that through training programs, wanting to make sure that our young people and even those that are adults have continuing educational opportunities for apprenticeships and other programs that can fuel them into jobs where they can make competitive wages.
Detroit Mayor is not an island. You have to work with city council.
Yes.
Have you had conversations with people who are on council now or running for council?
Well, I've always had relationships with people that work on city council. Very few individuals that run for elected office in this region do not come by. Most of them come by Triumph Church. So I've already had pre-existing relationships, and those relationships will continue because I believe I'm not the only one in the city of Detroit who want to work collaboratively and constructively and on improve the lives of the citizens here.
Can you name names? Who's got your back?
I believe that everyone on city council pretty much wants what's best for city council. The question just becomes, are they willing to take the courageous steps in order to make that happen? But I'll let each of them speak for themselves.
All right. That's a very political answer. I like that. The Duggan administration leaned heavily on federal dollars and mm-hmm. public-private partnerships. For the next 3 years, federal money might be hard to come by.
Yes, definitely.
So do you have the same interest in working with billionaires and industry to get things done in the city?
Russ, I believe that we have some of the greatest partners, corporate partners, philanthropic partners, stakeholders in the world. I believe we have a lot of those individuals right here in the city of Detroit. I believe that what we can do a better job at is not leaving resources on the table, but come together with the resources that we already have and leverage those resources for a cohesive vision where we can all work together so we can measure the metrics to make sure that we're really moving the needle. It didn't take the media the other day to tell us that more than 50% of the children in this city are living in poverty. We got to do something about that. When you have the highest poverty rate since 2017, we got to do more than just allowing people to sit at a table and rubber stamp. We got to have true leadership, and that's going to take not just the mayor convening the conversation, communicating the vision, but also convening the table of the stakeholders to get it done.
So how will you raise money? Are you looking at new taxes? Are you looking at changing additional tax structure? The current mayor, Mike Duggan, tried that. It didn't pass the legislature. What is your plan for raising new revenue?
Well, one of the things that we have to do is always be cautious about overtaxing the people who've already lost so much. Our residents are still reeling from overtaxation. They're still reeling from what they lost in bankruptcy. So adding an additional tax burden on them is never the first option. Budgeting is about prioritizing. And one of the things we need to do is make sure that while we're prioritizing big business to do development in the city of Detroit, we're also making sure that the residents and the neighborhoods have access to those same resources and those same relationships. And that's what I would do. Make sure that when we are looking at the budget, that we're always prioritizing people. We will continue to explore new areas of revenue and new areas of innovation and opportunity in the city of Detroit. We still want Detroit to be a place where businesses want to come because businesses bring jobs. But we want to empower our small business. We got over 38,000 small businesses in the city of Detroit. Let's incentivize them to hire people. Let's incentivize them in order to grow and expand. And I believe that's where the back of real true renaissance will come from.
The mayoral candidates throughout the primary process, city council candidates, they always talk about the neighborhoods. We need to move some of the business out of the neighborhoods. Is there a neighborhood that you're looking at right now that you've gone through in the city when you were canvassing and all that? You're like, this place is primed to pop. You've marked this place as like someplace ready to go that's kind of shovel ready.
Well, Russ, I think that's the problem. I believe that we've concentrated on select neighborhoods and have not done enough to make sure that every neighborhood feels something. And one of the things that we would do is collaborate with the neighborhoods to make sure that every resident of the city, although we can't do everything all at once, we can do something in every neighborhood. And putting together coalitions in each district will be able to accomplish that so people in the district can see that although we are not there today, we're making movement to get there together.
What is your neighborhood, by the way? I just realized I don't know where you live.
Downtown.
Okay.
Downtown.
You live downtown.
Yes.
They're doing a study on the People Mover. You know how its use has changed over the years from when it was built in the 70s.
Yes.
Do you have an idea of what you'd like to see out of the People Mover?
Well, one of the things I would like to see is people moving in the city. That is a great image. And one of the things in order to do that is we got to get people that live in this city, particularly in our communities, to know that downtown is theirs as well. So many times when I'm walking through the community, I hear this echo in so many conversations. I don't go downtown. When I did my launch, people were saying, why are you going to the Fox? That's not where we go. We don't go downtown. We have to make sure that everyone in this city feels a part of what's going on in this city. Because if we bring them downtown, we want them to use the mode of transportation to get around downtown.
You've run a campaign that's been largely criticism-free of Mary Sheffield. What are your specific disagreements with her on policy?
Well, one of the things that Mary Sheffield and I disagree with is that it appears to be that her policy has picked up once my policies has been introduced. When you start talking about affordable housing and they're bragging about affordable housing, we built $1.5 billion worth of affordable housing. Affordable for who? When the medium income is less than $40,000 a year and you're talking about you got rent $1,900 a month, that's not affordable for the average family in the city of Detroit. And so we differ on her lack of aggression in order to address the affordable housing crisis in the city of Detroit. We differ on her taunting the fact that crime is down. I don't think nobody should be taking a victory lap. When you talk to residents in the city of Detroit and when you leave a funeral, as I have left so many, where I'm burying too many young people in this city, to go into saying you ain't going to change nothing, you ain't going to touch nothing, you're going to leave leadership. Is everything. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And so to walk in and to say that nothing needs to change when the reality for the average person in the city of Detroit is still that they feel unsafe, I believe that her failed leadership is contributing to people still feeling like politicians have failed them. And we have to have people who are courageous enough to be honest sitting in that mayoral seat.
There was a victory lap, as you put it, yesterday.
Yes.
With the mayor talking about how crime is down again. Is there something that you would point to that you would change? Would you make a change of leadership for Detroit Police Chief?
Well, one of the things I would do on day one is to say, let's take an assessment. I would ask the leadership to give us a plan on what are you going to do to intensify or to change in order to deliver the citizens of this, of Detroit, the two things that they deserve. One is justice, and the other is safety. I don't think we should go in promising anything. I think we should go in open, saying that if you can deliver what the people of the city need, then yes, we will continue on. But if you cannot, then it's up to the mayor and the citizens of this city to decide what direction new that we should go in.
Well, what are people telling you? Like, people have ideas. Like, you can't walk anywhere in Detroit without somebody
and,
having
and
ideas.
People still feel unsafe. People are trying to figure out why are we taking victory laps. We have to be, first of all, in the city of Detroit, we have to be honest of how bad things are. From a crime perspective, not just about violent crimes to the body, but also we have to be honest about serious property crimes. And in order to be able to deal with those things, we got to be honest about how bad the problem is so that we can take some comprehensive and some realistic and practical steps in order to deal with that. And in the city of Detroit, people still don't feel safe. When I'm knocking on doors up and down the street, they still got bars on their window. They still have protective mechanisms in order to make sure they feel safe because they don't feel safe. And we got to do a better job of making sure that we're connecting our law enforcement with the citizens of this city to making sure we're delivering them the real results that they're looking for.
We heard it in the newscast from NPR about the president wanting to send National Guard troops into Chicago, Portland. Do you think National Guard troops in the city of Detroit would make residents safer?
I believe that when you start talking about martial law, it regurgitates some traumatic experience for the community from a time that they long have tried mentally and socially and psychologically to distance themselves from. I believe that the wonderful police officers in the city of Detroit should be responsible for caring for the people in the city of Detroit, and that people who live in the city should be responsible for being a part of that police department in order to patrol and protect their citizens. I believe that other law enforcement agencies can partner with us in order to provide coverage for soft targets where crowds gather with all of the incidences of terrorism and shooting that takes place across this country. I believe that we can always partner with law enforcement, but to have National Guards on the streets of Detroit, I believe that we are a long ways from that.
We've got about 45 seconds left. What would it mean to be the first man of the cloth, as it were, mayor of the city of Detroit, a city that's had a long history and a tight, close knit with the clergy in the city?
I believe it gives us an opportunity to rebrand not only the church, but also the preacher's role and responsibility. That for too long, so many people just see the preacher as just someone that stands on Sunday to inspire them religiously and theologically. But this gives an opportunity for us all to see the preacher in a different role, to know that all of us got a responsibility, not to just do something from a spiritual perspective, but to do something social and political. That's my rearing and my raising. And if I don't do nothing else, I believe that this is a great opportunity to inspire an entire city that ordinary people can do some extraordinary things.
Reverend Solomon Kinloch is running to be the next mayor of Detroit. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Russ. Thank you for having me.